ओम नमो भगवते। आई ऑफर दिस स्टडी सर्कल विथ द मदर्स मैसेज। व्हेन आई वॉज 5 years ओल्ड, वेल आई बिगेन विथ ए कॉन्शसनेस। ऑफकोर्स आई हैड नो आइडिया व्हाट इट वॉज, बट माई फर्स्ट एक्सपीरियंस वॉज ऑफ द कॉन्शसनेस हियर, गेस्चर अबव द हेड, विच आई फेल्ट लाइक अ लाइट एंड फोर्स, एंड आई फेल्ट इट दे आर एट द एज ऑफ 5। इट वॉज वेरी प्लीजेंट सेंसेशन। आई वुड सी इट इन ए लिटल आर्म चेयर मेड स्पेशली फॉर मी, ऑल अलोन इन माई रूम, एंड आई हैड ए वेरी प्लीजेंट फीलिंग ऑफ समथिंग वेरी स्ट्रांग, वेरी ल्यूमिनस, एंड इट वॉज हियर अबव द हेड। देन आई वुड पुल इट डाउन, पर इट वॉज ट्रूली माई रेशन थिएटर। सो हियर द मदर स्पीक्स दैट हर द मूवमेंट ऑफ कॉन्शसनेस वर्क बिगेन फ्रॉम द अर्ली चाइल्डहुड एट द एज ऑफ 5। बट ड्यूरिंग दैट पीरियड शी वॉज हैविंग नो आइडिया ऑफ द वर्ड कॉन्शसनेस। बट माई फर्स्ट एक्सपीरियंस वॉज द कॉन्शसनेस हियर, गेस्चर अबव द हेड, विच आई फेल्ट लाइक अ लाइट एंड अ फोर्स। सो द मदर फेल्ट अ लाइट एंड फोर्स अबव आर हेड। देन एंड बाई सिटिंग इन आर आर्म चेयर ही वॉज गोइंग टू ट्रांस, एंड इन दैट स्टेट ही वॉज कॉलिंग डाउन दैट फोर्स। प्लीजेंट फीलिंग ऑफ समथिंग वेरी स्ट्रांग, वेरी ल्यूमिनस, एंड इट वॉज हियर अबव द हेड। देन आई वुड पुल इट डाउन, फॉर इट वॉज ट्रूली माई रेशन थिएटर। सो दिस इज द मूवमेंट ऑफ कॉन्शसनेस मदर वॉज डूइंग, दैट हर स्पिरिचुअल बींग शी वॉज एबल टू कॉल डाउन द डायनामिक स्पिरिचुअल फोर्स इन टू आर माइंड, लाइफ एंड बॉडी एट द एज ऑफ 5, एंड दैट गिव्स हर ए कंसिडरेबल स्ट्रेंथ। देन दिस श्री अरविंदस मैसेज। The divine puts on an appearance of humanity, assumes the outward human nature in order to tread the path and show it to human beings, but does not cease to be divine. It is a manifestation that takes place, a manifestation of a growing divine consciousness, not human turning into divine. The mother was inwardly above the human even in the childhood, so the view held by many is erroneous. So here Sri Aurobindo speaks about the mother, that the an avatar puts on an appearance of humanity, assumes outward human nature in order to tread the path and show out to the human beings. Show it to the human beings, but does not cease to be divine. So in the Gita it is spoken that Janma Karma Chame Divyam, when an avatar takes birth, his very birth and action both are divine. So Sri Aurobindo confirms it with the mother. It is the manifestation that takes place, a manifestation of growing divine consciousness, not human turning into the divine. So the mother was divine from her childhood, from her very birth. So many think that she was initially human being and turned towards the divine consciousness, that Sri Aurobindo is not accepted. The mother was inwardly above the human even in childhood, so the view held by many is erroneous. So the mother, Sri Aurobindo confirmed that mother was inwardly divine from her very childhood, from her very birth. So today's study circle is a continuation from the last study circle, in which we received some seeker's question. So the first four questions we have concentrated elaborately. Now the fifth question is related with our karma and dharma. What is the relationship between dharma and karma from an integral yoga perspective? This is the fifth question. So this is a long chapter, so we'll deal this issue during the last period of this study circle. So now we'll come to the sixth question. Sixth question is, for the movement of consciousness between the psychic and spiritual, what practical steps in our day-to-day living can we consciously implement? I know the methods can be mainly spiritual rather than psycho-spiritual, but can you cover both methods, please? So here, the question of movement of consciousness comes. So first, we'll define what is consciousness and how in our daily living we'll draw benefit by movement of consciousness. Consciousness is defined as many-sided, purposeful, intelligent effort in ignorance and spontaneous intuitive action of Shakti in knowledge to arrive at apprehensive and comprehensive knowledge. This is the definition of consciousness. So if we live in three gunas, then we have to make effort, personal effort, many-sided effort, not single-sided. We have to grow in manifold manner. So consciousness is defined as many-sided, purposeful, intelligent effort in ignorance. And when our psychic and spiritual being opens, then it is a spontaneous intuitive action of the Shakti in knowledge to arrive at apprehensive and comprehensive knowledge. So if we move the consciousness in three gunas, ignorance, then through our many-sided effort, then we arrive at apprehensive knowledge. And if our psychic and spiritual being has opened, then the movement of consciousness will be spontaneous, and by that movement we can arrive at comprehensive knowledge. So in integral yoga, it is this the main the Mahamantra of integral yoga is all life is yoga. If we restate in the language of the life divine, then it will be the all life is evolution of consciousness. So here Sri Aurobindo, also Sri, if we want to do integral yoga, that is its if we its objective is divine, its objective is also integral perfection, and integral perfection and is integral perfection and the divine, they are the same. The same objective is same. So divine is the integral, divine is the symbol of integral perfection. So here in integral yoga, if we understand that Sri Aurobindo's integral yoga, then we have to learn the movement of consciousness. Because your divine is not a person, not an individual, but a hierarchy of ascending and descending consciousness. If we know how to move the consciousness, then we know the mother, the divine mother partly. And if we have learned this lesson, and if we intensify the consciousness, the movement of consciousness, then we can know the mother entirely. What in the Gita is spoken, the Samagrang Mam. If we want to know the divine entirely, then we have to learn to move the consciousness in all the planes of consciousness. And all the manifold subtle bodies, we have to learn to move the consciousness. The essence of consciousness is defined as the power to be aware of itself and the world. So the literal meaning of consciousness is that we should be aware of ourselves and the world. The true nature of consciousness is defined as it must be direct, self-fulfilling and complete. The true center of consciousness is a luminous formulation of the one consciousness and pure channel and instrument of one existence. The destiny of evolving consciousness is to be entirely aware of the self, consciousness and life. So this is the destiny. So destiny is the fullness of the self, fullness of consciousness and fullness of life. So if we want to pursue this integral jagat, there is an inspiring motive that we have to always to remember. That motive is the shortest way, by the shortest way at the largest development. Those who will pursue integral jagat, they will always have to remember that how the largest development by the shortest way. This I have restated. So what is then the mother's consciousness? The mother's consciousness is that which rests on the one and acts in the all. And if allowed to penetrate into life, self and lower consciousness, then it can bring perfection there endlessly through all life. So the mother's consciousness, it rests on the one, it rests on the supreme self and acts in the all. All things, all material, vital, mental thing, everywhere it acts. And if allowed to penetrate into life, self and lower consciousness, then it can bring perfection there, endlessly. So the mother's consciousness will work endlessly through all life. That means from this beginning of the creation till the life is divinized. In that, the mother's consciousness will work. It ensures largest development in the shortest way, shortest time, and in the smallest sacrificial action, sacrificial thought, and sacrificial love. So this motive we have to remember always. That is the inspiring motive that Sri Aurobindo has indicated in the synthesis of yoga. That those who will do sadhana, they will remember this, this motive you will remember always, that largest development in the shortest path, in the shortest time, and in the smallest sacrificial one, action, in the smallest sacrificial thought, and the smallest sacrificial love. And this motive or this mantra we have to apply to our life, everyday life. So that is possible that if we will identify, we have to first identify our everyday life, we have to identify it. That we have to identify our imperfection there. What is tamasic imperfection? What is rajasic imperfection? And what is sattvic imperfection? That is staged over our work and our thought and our association. We have to identify that. And we have to believe that the smallest insignificant action can be used as means for the highest descent of divine force. Similarly, the smallest and insignificant thought can be utilized as a sacrificial thought for the highest descent of divine force. Similarly, the smallest drop of human love can also be utilized as consecrated love and highest descent of the divine love, supreme love, as means of highest descent of supreme love. So in brief, that the action of all undivine action, all action can be transformed into divine action in integral yoga. All mundane knowledge can be transformed into the divine wisdom. Then all human love can be transformed into the divine love if we have learned the lesson how to consecrate them rightly. So our whole day will be learning this lesson, that if we will consecrate rightly, then there will be descent of the divine force. And we have always to strive for that how we will rightly consecrate every moment, every instance, every circumstance, how we will consecrate and call down the divine force. And that is our daily task, so it will not disturb the external work. It is an inner action. So it will bring rather perfection to the external work. It will bring largeness to the external work, and it will bring that plasticity, luminosity, and divinity in all the action, in all the ordinary action. So far as movement of consciousness is concerned, so first, if we are in the three gunas, then we have to learn the lesson how to move the tamasic mind to rajasic mind, rajasic mind to sattvic mind. That lesson we will learn. If our psychic being and spiritual being are open, then we will, spontaneously the consciousness will move from this trance, this waking trance to non-waking trance, and non-waking trance to waking trance. If our psychic being will be open, then we have the feeling that we are child and son of the divine. If our spiritual being is open, then we have the feeling that it is one of the center of the multiple divine, of the cosmic divine. It is one of the center. That means the cosmic divine or the universal divine mother can work through this particular vessel for his large spiritual action. So the psychic and spiritual being, if we will practice this self-control, if we practice this buddhi yoga, then this psychic being and spiritual being will open. And how we will know this psychic and spiritual being is open? That our mind will be silent, there will be no desire, and there will be equality. These three things, from these things, three things, we will know that we are in either in psychic state or in spiritual state. Psychic being is the delegation of the divine in ignorance, and the spiritual being is the delegate of the divine in knowledge. So psychic being is always dynamic, but the spiritual being is initially static, and if this experience is prolonged, then the spiritual being becomes dynamic. And the static spiritual being is an escapist tendency from this world. It has an escapist tendency from the world. It wants to escape from this world to the transcendent self. But if it is dynamite, then the spiritual self, the dynamic acts as Shakti, and this Shakti will work in the mind, life, and body. So the spiritual being has to be dynamite, then it will work to resolve the problem of the world. So initially the first the psychic being and spiritual being, when that it open, it will open intermittently. So if a sattvic means psychic and spiritual being open intermittently, then he is identified as dvija, twice born soul. And if his psychic and spiritual being is established, then he is identified as instrument of the divine. And if his psychic being and spiritual being is universalized, then he is identified as emanation, vibhuti. And if his psychic being and spiritual being are supramentalized, then he carries the consciousness of the avatar. Of the dual avatar, he carries the consciousness. So these are the stages of the development. So we can begin, we have to always to learn. We can learn in ignorance, we can learn in knowledge. Both the aspects are open towards us. So first we'll have to do this yoga in psycho-spiritual method. Psycho-spiritual method, that is indicated in the Mother Book Chapter 2. We have to practice aspiration, rejection and surrender. When psychic and spiritual being opens, then these activities become strong. Our rejection of the lower nature, our rejection of falsehood will become strong. Our surrender will become strong and our aspiration will become strong if the psychic and spiritual being opens. If they are not open, then we have to do personal effort. If our intellect is purified, then it will allow us to practice this yoga, psycho-spiritual method, through psycho-spiritual method. So yoga demands a purified intellect, then it will collaborate in practicing the yoga. Now we'll come to the seventh question. The seventh question, seeker's question is, the given ultimately progress in this path is only possible by surrender to the Shakti. And also given surrender is not practicable in one instant. It is progressive. What specific practices or attitudes can help a seeker to deepen their surrender? So the Bhagavad Gita speaks of three types of surrender. One is tamasic surrender, rajasic surrender, and sattvic surrender. So all our science, then all this technology, science, modern knowledge, they also consecrate, but unconsciously they consecrate to tamasic and rajasic force. So that is why they are accepted as lower knowledge. So if we will ascend to the sattvic nature, and we will practice the surrender, then that is true surrender, that is identified. The beginning of true surrender, that is. So in our day-to-day life, how we will practice surrender? So surrender is linked with, our surrender is linked with concentration, with self-control. That is called sanyama. So if we will practice self-control, then our concentration will increase. If our concentration will increase, that is, then our surrender will increase. So concentration is linked with surrender. So when the question of Now the question arises that if we want to increase our surrender, we have to practice this concentration, sanjama we have to practice, self-control we have to practice. So this self-control is of, this concentration is of seven types. So initially we have to concentrate on four types of concentration that we have to practice. They are identified as first exclusive concentration, second exclusive concentration, third exclusive concentration, and fourth exclusive concentration. We have to practice. So Mother here gives an example. Studies strengthen the mind and turns its concentration away from the impulses and desires of the vital. Concentrating on study is one of the most powerful ways of controlling the mind and the vital. That is why it is so important to study. So here we have identified the seven type of concentration. So the first exclusive concentration deals with the objective world. The second exclusive concentration deals with the present moment. The third exclusive concentration deals with the subjective world, and the fourth exclusive concentration deals with the reconciliation of objective and subjective world. Then there is fifth is essential concentration. When the psychic being opens, then a concentration, psychic concentration becomes active. And then there is multiple concentration when the spiritual being opens, and spiritual being is universal light, then the multiple concentration opens. Then beyond it is the integral concentration, that is when the supramental self opens, then one realizes divine, triple divine one realizes and reconciles them. Brahman is in all things are in Brahman, and all things are made up of the stuff of the Brahmans. That one is having this triple realization. So today we'll only concentrate how this will grow, this first three concentration. This first exclusive, second exclusive, and third exclusive, they are necessary in our day-to-day life. So the first exclusive, since we are in the objective world, so when we are concentrating on any objective material, that is called first exclusive concentration. The first exclusive concentration is defined as the complete absorption in the objective world by an entire separation from the true self. So this is the if we concentrate on the objective world, our concentration will increase. And how that will help in our sadhana? A seeker of truth utilizes the faculty of first exclusive concentration toward calling down the spaceless infinity to the limited space of his surrounding world. So if one's concentration will increase, then it will be utilized for calling down spaceless infinity to limited space that is possible. And by that, some manifestation is also possible. And self-expansion in the form of manifestation of the objective divine work with the aid of three gunas, that is possible. Then the second exclusive concentration, that is dealt with our present moment. The second exclusive concentration is a contemplation on the present without past and future. Then there is development of second exclusive concentration, which is defined as to preoccupy and limit oneself with the mental knowledge of the present, which is hurriedly changing from moment to moment in a helpless succession of events, forms and phenomena and actions, oblivious of the successive past and future happenings, except that memory that holds little and vague inference of the future. So if we are aware of the present moment and we will concentrate on the present moment, excluding the past and future, then our concentration power increases. A seeker of truth utilizes this second exclusive concentration toward calling down the timeless eternity to the sleeping moments. So if our second exclusive concentration will develop, then we'll call down the timeless eternity to sleeping moments. Then third exclusive concentration is that instead of concentrating on the object, if we will concentrate on our subject, then the inner self, then that is third exclusive concentration. Concentration on subjective inner world by exclusion of concentration on the objective outer world and by exclusion of concentration on the present moment is identified as third exclusive concentration. So when we have leisure time, when we have no work, so then at that time we should prefer to live alone because that is the condition of meeting the divine. Those who live alone with themselves meet God. This is the message from Savitri. So during that time, the third exclusive concentration develops. So if we live alone with ourselves and we'll look inside and then we'll enter inner being and our concentration power increases. So it is third exclusive concentration is defined as the complete absorption in the objective means or instrument of education in finding the subjective being or concentrates exclusively on the concealed inner being by quieting the frontal active prakriti and subjective experience of the ever modified subtle mental states of its personality. So if we practice third exclusive concentration, then the subtle physical, subtle mental, subtle vital, the sukma sarira will develop. Increase of third exclusive concentration gives birth to increase of conscription, which is identified as the central truth of integral yoga. Thus, we are able to link the central truth of integral education with central truth of integral yoga. So concentration is the central truth of integral education and this conscription is the central truth of integral yoga. Then there is a fourth exclusive concentration. Here the first three exclusive concentration are reconciled. So first exclusive concentration is related with space and second exclusive concentration is related with time. So here, in fourth exclusive concentration, the time and space are reconciled. That is an important work. So this begins with fourth exclusive concentration and culminates in integral concentration. In integral concentration, the time and space changes. So one lives in integral concentration triple time. That means the past, present, and future, they coexist. And space also, its space becomes the whole world, whole universe becomes, he feels that whole universe is within him, that space is within him. So his concept of space changes. In ordinary consciousness, one feels the world is outside him. But in the supramental consciousness, one feels that the whole world is within him. And in the ordinary consciousness, one lives in the present moment, but in the supramental consciousness, one lives in triple time. That means the past, present, and future, they coexist. So through fourth exclusive concentration, we can begin the section of reconciling time and spirit. In this fourth exclusive concentration, the present moment is utilized in linking the subjective time with the objective space, or in this concentration, self-concentration and self-expansion are reconciled. So space and time are initially reconciled in the fourth exclusive concentration and finally in the integral concentration. So now we'll come to this sixth question, the seventh question. So if we want to increase our surrender, first we have to practice this satyuk surrender. Satyuk surrender is if satyuk nature is active in us, then our surrender consecration will be multi-blessed. They will renounce all the fruit of action and will do all work and will offer them. Then we will have the partial union with the divine. And this surrender can be increased if we will practice exclusive concentration. Particularly this third exclusive concentration is related with our sadhana. And also first and second, they will also help increase this surrender. And when the psychic and spiritual being opens, then the surrender becomes spontaneous. No longer effort is necessary. It becomes spontaneous and strong. And so that is why when psychic and spiritual being opens, this consecration, this concentration is also become strong and spontaneous. That is called rigorous self-control. That this our self-control becomes rigorous when psychic and spiritual being opens. And our self-control becomes absolute when the supramental self opens. So in our day-to-day life, if we will increase our concentration, then our surrender will increase. If our surrender will increase, then we will experience partial divine union. If this divine union is prolonged, then the divine will work as Shakti and it will transform our mind, life and body. And it will deal with all the problems of this world. It will enter all the problems of the world. Then we'll come to the eighth question. Eighth question. In the Gita, the Lord says to practice the yoga without despondency. Given the repeated feeling of our untransformed nature as we interact in the outer world with people of different times, how can remain in samatha and unaffected by the blows up and down as we see little or no outer progress in our nature? As long as we remain in seclusion, we are fine, but the first touch of the world and the equality, calmness, etc. vanishes. Can you elaborate on the assurances the Lord has given to all the sadhakas on that? So here we will deal two things. One is the perfection of equality and another is seclusion. Both things we will deal. So before coming to equality, I will come to the seclusion, why seclusion is necessary. So this is from the Life Divine. So this quotation is from the Life Divine. It deals with seclusion. In all spiritual living, the inner life is the thing of first importance. So if one will lead a spiritual life, what is in inner life? The spiritual man lives always within. And in a world of ignorance that refuses to change, he has to be in certain sense separate from it and to guard his inner life against the intrusion and influence of the darker forces of ignorance. He is out of the world even when he is within it. If he acts upon it is from the fortress of his inner spiritual being, where in the inmost sanctuary he is one with the supreme existence or the soul and God are alone together. So here Sri Aurobindo proposes that a spiritual man will live always within, then he has to build a fortress within. And in that fortress, he will live in that fortress, and he will do all the work of the world by disconnecting himself from the world. He is always united with the transcendent divine and universal divine. And while he is united with the divine, he will do all the objective action of the world. So for that, he has to build a fortress that nobody can trespass the fortress. Only the Supreme Lord from above or below the pit can only enter, and that is described as the wedding with the Lord, wedding of the Lord. So only the divine can only possess that fortress, and it will be the world influence, the world perversion will not enter into that fortress. So a spiritual man will live in that fortress, and while living in that inner fortress, he will do all the external activities without any difficulties. He will do all the external activities. The Gnostic life will be an inner life in which the antinomy of the inner and outer, the self and the world, will have been cured and exited. Here, there will be no enmity, antinomy, antagonism between inner and outer, self and the world, will have been cured and exited. The Gnostic being will have indeed an inmost existence in which he is alone with God, one with the eternal, self-plunged into the depth of the infinite, in communion with its heights and its luminous abysses of secrecy. Nothing will be able to disturb or to invade these depths or bring him down from the summits, neither the world's content, nor his action, nor all that is around him. He will live in an inner world, and it will be undisturbed in that inner world. Neither world can disturb him, nor the surrounding can disturb him, nor his action can disturb him. This is the transcendence aspect of the spiritual life, and it is necessary for the freedom of the spirit, for otherwise the identity in nature with the world would be a binding limitation and not a free identity. So if we are identified with the world, then it will bind us. So we have to be have to a free identity. We have to be identified with the Supreme, and we have to work outwardly for the world. That is the definition of a free man. And for that, we have to build a fortress. Our psychic self should build a fortress, and in that fortress, we have to live alone with the divine. And while living alone with the divine, we'll do all the work and we'll involve in the work. And that is the true living. We'll not renounce any world problem or any world action. We'll not renounce. There is a similar line in the Savitri. After Savitri found her psychic being, this is the description. O soul, my soul, we have created heaven. Within we have found the kingdom here of God, his fortress built in a loud, ignorant world. The Savitri was able to build a fortress around his psychic being, and that is the kingdom of the God. They are inside that fortress. There was kingdom of the God. It was there. So now we'll come to how in the day-to-day world we can live with equality, and we'll work. So in the perfection of equality that Sri Aurobindo has dealt perfection of equality in the synthesis of yoga around 12 places related with perfection of equality. So we'll only take few of them. So here this is a line: attaining to a perfect equality in soul, mind, and heart, we realize our true self of oneness, one with all being, one too with that which expresses itself in them, in all that we see and experience. The equality and oneness are the indispensable twin foundation we must lay down for the divine being, a divine consciousness, a divine action. Not one with all, we are not spiritual, not divine. So if we want to live a spiritual life, then we should, these two indispensable twin foundation we should have. One is equality and other is oneness with all existence. So how we'll attain this equality? That is indicated in the Gita. It has been best formulated in the already expressed doctrine of the Gita, by which a complete renouncement of desire for the fruits as the motive of action, a complete annulment of desire itself, the complete achievement of perfect equality are put forward as the normal status of spiritual being. So you are saying the made clear that if we completely renounce the desire, then there will be the complete equality will be there, perfect equality will be there. So we have to renounce desire, we have to renounce attachment, we have to renounce our three gunas, then the equality will be in the front. A perfect spiritual equality is the one true and infallible sign of the cessation of desire. So if we are in equality, then we'll know that we have no desire. To be equal souled to all things, unmoved by joy and sorrow, the pleasant and the unpleasant, success or failure, to look with an equal eye or high and low, friend and enemy, the virtuous and sinner, to see in all beings the manifold manifestation of the one, and in all things the multitudinous play of the slow, massed evolution of the embodied spirit. So we have to practice this desire, we have to renounce all form of desire. There are external, there are subtle desires, and very subtle form of desires are there. Then there is this gross forms of desire. It is easy to identify gross desire, but subtle desire it is difficult to identify, but we have to renounce everything. And Sri Aurobindo has identified the Gita's last chapter, see last verse is the key word of the integral yoga. So there it is identified that the desire is our greatest enemy and we have to renounce it, desire. And mother declared that if we can renounce desire, that is the opening towards new consciousness, then we will open towards the supramental consciousness. If a person lives in perfect equality, then he is ready for this supramental, to arrive at supramental perfection, is ready, his being is ready. So in the Gita, the equality is given much importance. The Self, Spirit, the Brahman is one in all and therefore one to all. It is, as is said in the Gita, which has developed fully this idea of equality, and indicated its experience on at least one side of equality, the equal Brahman, Samam Brahma. The Gita even goes so far in one passage to identify the equality and yoga, Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. That is to say, equality is the sign of unity with the Brahman, of becoming Brahman, of growing into the undisturbed spiritual poise of the being in the infinite. If we are united with the divine, that will give us equality. Samatvam yoga uchyate. If we are in equality state, then that is a condition of uniting with the divine. So in everyday life, we have to purify our intellect, and if our intellect is pure, then we will practice persistently the rejection. The lower nature is busy, will visit us from the world. The lower nature will visit to us from our subconscious, from our mind, life and body, and from our past birth. They will visit us, and we have to learn to persistently reject it. If we will persistently reject the lower nature, then falsehood and ignorance, then the equality will be established. If equality is in the frontal nature, then that is the condition of conscription. And through conscription, we will enter union with the divine, and by that union, the equality becomes strong. So this, in everyday life, we can practice. Persistently, we will practice rejection. Persistently, we will practice surrender. So in our day-to-day life also, we always feel that we are living inside our psychic fortress. Psychic being is identified as the Virgin Mother, and we are living in her influence. In the day-to-day life, we will live in the Virgin influence of our psychic being. and we'll close our door to the world, because in the world you will not meet any virgin influence. In the external world, that is very rare. So we have to live in our inner fortress and we'll meet the world. From that fortress, we'll meet the world perversion, world impurity, and world disharmony and discord, everything we have to meet. Then integral yoga proposes that we will not renounce this world, because the God's discord, we have to accept the God's discord, as discord of the world as the God's discord, and by accepting it, we can harmonize the discords. That is the mission of integral yoga. We have to harmonize every discord of the world, and we cannot escape. Now we will come to the fifth question of the seekers. Fifth question is, what is the relationship between dharma and karma from an integral yoga perspective? So dharma means here we will understand this Sanatana Dharma, this eternal religion. So, and karma means here action. So action is of two types. One is bound action, one is action of the liberated man. So how they are related with each other? This. So in the Gita, Gita has identified that we have to do four types of work. It has identified fourfold action. Fourfold, it has hinted the fourfold psychic action, the fourfold spiritual action, and fourfold ordinary action. It has identified that fourfold action is Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. When it that is from a sattvic plane and tamasic, rajasic plane there. And when they enter the psychic plane, they become Brahma Shakti, Khetra Shakti, Vaishya Shakti, and Sudra Shakti. When this action enters the spiritual plane, they become this Maheshwari, Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, and Mahasaraswati. They become these four soul forces. So we'll understand dharma. This is the law of the soul. So the Lord spoke to Arjuna that sarva dharman paritejya mamekam saranam braja. That means divine is the representative symbol of this psychic and spiritual and supramental, khyara akhyara and purushottama. There is a law of the psychic being, there is a law of the spiritual being, and there is a law of supramental being. So Arjuna asked that all fixed law, you have to renounce all the fixed law of the Shastra, and you have to open yourself to the law of the psychic being, to the spiritual being, and the supramental being. And if we will open towards them, then there will be action born out of that. If we experience psychic union, then the divine action born from psychic union, that is a fourfold type, then that is Brahma Shakti, Khetra Shakti, Vaishya Shakti, and Sudra Shakti. If we enter divine union in spiritual being, that will give birth to fourfold divine action, that of Maheshwari, Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, and Mahasaraswati. And if we enter supramental self, there are also fourfold divine action is born. That is called, identified as Truth Supreme, Power Supreme, and Supreme Delight, and Will Supreme. The ancient thought of India were conscious of these fourfold spiritual terms, Chaturbarna, of active human personality and nature, which precipitated a fixed mechanical function in the society of traditional ideal of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, whose full consummation and large divine manifestation must be called down from the universal and transcendent plane by those who practice integral yoga. A sadhaka opens his nature more and more into the rounded fullness and universal capacity of the fourfold spirit. So the Brahmin soul force represents soul of self-knowledge and world knowledge. The ancient Indian teaching insists to regenerate ethical and spiritual culture in all men, and their highest inner self are Brahmanas, capable of full growth of spirit and Godhead. The study of scriptures calms self-control, purity, a way of truth-seeking, and capture it for outward use. Long-suffering, kindness, honesty, aversion to fault-finding, the ceaseless quest for knowledge, freedom from prejudice, hard-won mind silence, sweet-smiling quietude of life, constant practice of non-attachment towards son, wife, and home, high thinking, pure living, heavenward flight, through saintly inactivity, free from attachment to action and inaction, detachment of desire mind and renunciation of its passion, raise the mental consciousness into clarity, fixing the mind in the central vision, nearing of spiritual truth within, by purified buddhi and ethical change in the outside surface life, are the natural and spontaneous task of the traditional Brahmin soul force. Thus, a traditional Brahmin lives in double life, spiritual within and above, and mental and material in the outward active earthly living. Thus, he does not bridge the gulf between the imperfect matter and perfect spirit. This is the traditional Brahmin. Then the exclusive nature of the soul force of the ancient traditional Brahmin is extended and enlarged in integral yoga to go beyond the partial views and egoistic motives of human ignorance and becomes the master of own kingdom, of life, Swarat, master over the surrounding world, Samrat, the fullness of divine union of truth light, Brahma Yoga, power and glory of spiritual force, Brahma Tejas, comprehensive knowledge, Brahma Varchas, perfection of spiritual law, Dharma, enlarge and raise the whole seeing and living of the active consciousness by trace, Samadhi, by trance, Samadhi, the accomplished Brahminhood of the complete Brahmana, and grows into impersonalized universal personality, Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma. The exclusive concentration Sanjama pursued by all traditional schools of yoga is used as a temporary instrument for beginners of integral yoga and further extended and culminated as an all-receiving and all-inclusive concentration Samgyana. So this self-control, this exclusive self-control is necessary in the beginning of this integral zone. Then while ascending the hierarchy of consciousness, one will meet the essential psychic concentration, multiple spiritual concentration and integral concentration. Then the perfection of Brahmana soul force is the treasure house of miraculous knowledge, which is open to every kind of revelation, intimation, vision, many-sided wideness of spiritual attainment, inspiration, intuition, identity. Opens us to supramental infinity's largeness, unalterable silence, absolute quietude and solitude, impersonal vastness, right discrimination of truth, unspoken great word, shadowless love, original delight of existence, self-diffusing peace, and a reconciling wisdom up to perfect life. Its illimitable calm upholds all illumination, movement, action as on some rock of ages, equal, unperturbed, unmoved, achyuta. This is the perfection of the Brahmin soul force. And what is integral Brahmin? So we have defined what is traditional Brahmin and what is integral Brahmin. An integral Brahmin calls down the Divine Mother's swift invasion of mightier light, calm wideness, truth of eternity, blaze of comprehensive wisdom, inevitable word, tranquil benignity, sovereign and surpassing majesty and all-ruling greatness to life's closed and obscure room. and transforms all triple lower mechanical energies of sattva, rajas, and tamas into energies of illumined, seer, and subsequently to supramental nature, madbhava. Not by rejecting life and action, but by accepting and uplifting them, he will realize the Supreme Self in his own being and subsequently in all beings, and transform all mundane knowledge into activities of self-existent infinite divine consciousness. Thus, God knowledge and world knowledge become two sides of one transcendent seeking. So from traditional Brahmin, we have to be perfect Brahmin, then we have to be integral Brahmin. When the integration work will continue, then the Maheshwari will be active. She is the Maheshwari aspect, the mediatrix universal mother that draws her child to her arms to link earth consciousness with supreme truth consciousness. And we adore her as the mother of all godheads, ancient mother, infinite mother, a wonderful mother of unnumbered species, and an embodiment of the mighty mother, a force in her toil since the beginning of creation to reverse destiny's cold dead turn, force to open the door of multiple selves that are denied and closed. And when the earth will be ready, she shall again take birth in time as the last avatar to vanquish fate and death and establish truth's victory. So these are the stages through which we have to go, action. So the Gita defines fourfold action in integral yoga. They are extensively developed. How the fourfold soul force will develop. First one will be the traditional Brahmin, traditional Kshatriya, traditional Vaishya, then traditional Sudra. Then you will bring perfection in them. You will be perfect Brahmin, perfect Vaishya, perfect Kshatriya, and perfect Sudra. Then you will be integral Brahmin, integral Vaishya, integral Sudra, and integral Kshatriya. Then in a perfect man, all the four soul forces are reconciled. If the four soul forces will be reconciled, then he is a perfect integral man, integral yogi. In an integral yogi, all the four forces, four soul forces are reconciled. So since we have a limitation in time, so the other soul forces, time will permit, in other session we can discuss, continue it. So now we will conclude with this small para. We will conclude. The above fourfold traditional personalities, they are thought and knowledge, war and government, production and distribution, labor and service, are raised up to the fullness and harmony in traditional seeker of truth, and extended a soul of knowledge, a soul of strength and power, a soul of mutuality and interchange, a soul of works and service in the sane and perfected society. A society is considered perfect if all the four types of people will live in that society. So Sri Aurobindo has warned us that now the Sudra society is increasing. The proletariat are identified by Sri Aurobindo as Sudra. And all over the world, they are increasing. So in a society, in a society, a sane society, all the four types of people should be there. Brahmin soul force, Kshatriya soul force, Vaishya soul force, and Sudra soul force. If the objective of life is only enjoyment and doing work, then that is a Sudra society. Transient enjoyment, they will earn money and enjoy life. If that is the motive of life, then that is a Sudra society. And that is a danger for the whole of humanity. In a sane and perfected society, similarly, the perfection of all the above fourfold soul for personality of integral truth, destructive of falsehood, is the in an integral sadhaka, this thing will develop fourfold. Integral truth, destructive of falsehood, adventure of consciousness, three, overhead descent of love, beauty and delight, and fourth is skill in work and integrated in integral seeker of truth, and extended in the large manifestation of divine center, the ashram. Traditional yoga succeeds with the evolution of a strong spiritual being whereas integral yoga succeeds with evolution of strong spiritual being subordinated by evolution of strong mental being. So traditional yoga helps in building the spiritual foundation, and the integral yoga helps in the integration of being and nature and reconciliation of spirit with matter. So this above fourfold personality, so if the soul will open, then the fourfold, then this Bhagavad Gita is hinted that first one will be, if the psychic and spiritual being will be open intermittently, then is identified as Dvija. And if he is established in psychic and spiritual being and ready to do all objective action, divine action, then he is called instrument, Jantra. And if this psychic and spiritual being are universalized, then he is identified as emanation, Vibhuti. And if this psychic and spiritual being are supramentalized, then he ascends to the consciousness of avatar. These are the four stages of development, and those who seek perfection, they have to go through these four stages of perfection. So today I will conclude with this. Om Tat Sat.